Last evening, April 23, candidates in the Nipissing Timiskaming riding participated in a roundtable discussion focused on environmental and First Nations issues. Specifically, how to mediate climate change and how to remedy PFAS chemicals, also known as forever chemicals, in the region's drinking water, were two main topics. Further, how to meaningfully consult with First Nations and what to do with nuclear waste rounded out the evening's themes. The event was organized by North Watch, an advocate for environmental protection and public participation in environmental decision-making in northeastern Ontario. About 25 people streamed into the basement gym at St. Andrew's United Church at 399 Castle Street to watch the event, which began at 6 p.m. with an opportunity to meet and talk with the candidates before the roundtable discussion began at 7 p.m. Each candidate had a table set up to facilitate the meet and greet and provide residents with more information on their party's platform. John Jansen of the People's Party of Canada was there, as was Pauline Rochefort, representing the Liberal Party. Valerie Kennedy, running for the NDP, also attended. Green Party candidate Louise Poitras was scheduled to come, but had a change of plans, and informed the organizers she could no longer make it. Conservative Party candidate Gary Keller declined the invitation to participate. See, nominations closed. 5 running in Nipissing Timiskaming. The night was not set for a debate. Rather, community leaders involved with the issues voiced questions to the candidates, who each had 2 minutes to answer. Before the talk, each candidate was given background information about each subject to help them prepare. There were no interruptions, and there was no talking over each other. The discussion ran smoothly, with all candidates adhering to the given protocols. Former Nipissing First Nation Chief, and current Lake Huron Regional Chief of the Anishinaabeg Nation, Scott McLeod, moderated the event. The first question came from John Patterson, of Nipissing Environmental Watch, who raised the issue of climate change. He mentioned the summer fires and the rising mercury and reminded candidates of Canada's commitment to reduce carbon emissions. Is your party committed to this target, and if so, how do you plan to do it? He asked. Pauline Rochefort was the first to speak and mentioned the electric vehicle charging stations installed in East Ferris, a project she helped bring to light as mayor of that municipality. She also detailed how most municipalities in the riding have strategies for infrastructure that takes into account climate change within their official plans and strategies. She emphasized that at the local level, municipalities are working to mediate the effects of severe weather brought on by climate change. As for the party platform of climate, it has many dimensions to it and offers a full commitment to meeting the targets by 2050 and 2035. Valera Kennedy emphasized Canada provided more public financing for oil and gas than any other G20 country. The NDP planned to close tax loopholes for big oil and fight for families in Canada, not for big oil billionaires. She also detailed the NDP will save you money on your energy bills with free and easy access to home energy retrofits. We want to make sure that every household is able to fight climate change. Renewable energy was a priority for the NDP, Kennedy emphasized. John Jansen noted his party believes that climate change is happening, but we do not believe it's a man-made change, so we will withdraw support for unrealistic greenhouse gas emission targets. But at the same time, we will lose all subsidies for oil and gas. Jansen continued, we will prioritize implementing practical solutions to make Canada's air, water, and soil cleaner, including bringing clean drinking water to remote First Nations communities. The conversation turned our town's water supply when Liza Vandermeer of the Trout Lake Conservation Association asked about PFAS chemicals and how North Bay residents, as well as other residents who drink from Trout Lake, are ingesting these forever chemicals. She detailed that although millions have been spent to clean up these chemicals, more funds will be needed. Further, there are still private wells which are contaminated. She wondered if the parties would pay to have these wells cleaned up. There are people who have spent thousands of dollars putting in systems to make their water safe to drink, Vandermeer said. Will they be reimbursed? The NDP will absolutely make sure that people are taken care of, Kennedy said. We cannot have our children drinking water that's contaminated. She noted that these PFAS chemicals are in many household items as well, and the issue must be addressed. The NDP party will help people immediately, making sure they have filtration systems for the water of those affected. We would definitely cover the cost, Jansen added, speaking for the People's Party. See, cleanup continues on PFAS contaminated soil around airport. Rochefort emphasized the issue. Has been front and center with our MP Anthony Rota, and it's definitely a file that continues to be front and center. She added that the city has undertaken a study to evaluate how to enhance the water treatment process for residents. She noted, there are good eyes on this issue, from the federal government, the provincial government, the city, and the various organizations involved. Vandermeer also questioned if the candidates would push for more studies into the long-term effects of consuming PFAS chemicals, to which all agreed that was a good idea. The NDP candidate noted her party would commit to reducing PFAS production by 90% by 2035. What about that nuclear waste? Under the Nuclear Fuel Waste Act of 2002, the Nuclear Waste Management Organization, NWMO, which is comprised of Ontario Power Generation, Hydro-Quebec, and New Brunswick Power, was mandated to recommend long-term management for nuclear fuel waste. Currently, the Revail site, in the heart of Treaty No. 3 territory in northwestern Ontario at the headwaters of the Wabagoon watershed, is a prime contender. To get there, the waste has to travel by truck 2 to 3 shipments per day for more than 50 years. Most of which will travel through North Bay en route, organizers explained in their background information on the topic. Brennan Lloyd, of North Watch, one of the organizers of the event, raised the issue of sending nuclear waste to the north. She noted that Northern Ontario voices have been diminished in provincial and federal politics, and she wondered, how will you be our champion? How will you ensure that we get heard and that we have the opportunity to affect the very big decisions that are going to be made in the next 10 years? Rochefort noted that although not directly involved, she has followed the issue, and from that perspective, found the NWMO's process to select sites, always appeared to be very open and transparent. She added that the decision has not been finalized yet, not until the First Nation and the government ensure the next phase of thorough environmental and technical evaluations to determine the safety of the building site. The final site requires more discussion, Rochefort noted. See, podcast, Nuclear Waste Transportation Through North Bay. Kennedy emphasized the producers of the waste should take care of it where it is created. You do not send it to Northern Ontario. She noted how she travels these highways often, and adding more trucks full of nuclear waste is a shame. We don't need to do that. And we don't need to send it by rail. We don't need it. Jansen was also against shipping nuclear waste north. Southern Ontario can keep their problems down there. Mary Laronde, from the Council of Temeagama Anishinaabe, raised the issue of how governments consult with First Nations, emphasizing that as governments rush to claim minerals and open mines, consultation can become nothing more than tokenism, leading to what Laronde described as another form of colonialism. She emphasized First Nations need to have the power of a veto to protect things like watersheds and the headwaters. It's our land and that's our obligation. Laronde added the obligation already exists to consult with First Nations, but these consultations can become another hollow process on the endless road to reconciliation. She asked, how do you avoid reducing the United Nations declarations on the rights of Indigenous peoples to another hollow promise and a performative consultation process? Jansen noted, we need a new relationship based on respect, adding each nation needs to work together to achieve common goals. Rochefort emphasized that the Liberal Party under Mark Carney appears to me to be in keeping with acknowledging and respecting the rights of First Nations, upholding the treaties that have been signed by our ancestors, and engaging in the spirit of partnership that honors our shared history. She also noted the party's platform intends to streamline the consultation process, reducing it from 5 to 2 years. Kennedy added, "We are privileged to walk on Indigenous land, and while we're walking on Indigenous land, we as Canadians will rise up as the Indigenous community rises. That is so important to me." The NDP stands for First Nations Communities, Inuit and Métis, she added. Canada needs to speak with our First Nation communities on a nation-to-nation level, she emphasized. David Briggs is a local journalism initiative reporter who works out of Bay Today, a publication of Village Media. The local journalism initiative is funded by the Government of Canada.